My name is Rob Rodney. I am a God's servant designated today to deliver God's word to you this morning. Some of you may recognize me, some may not. I'm half-time presence here in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings due to the fact that my wife and I serve in Children's Church. And so we're on a month, off a month, and so it's a privilege to be here with you this morning. Today's message, the title is Know God, and it comes from 1 John 2, 1 through 11. As you're turning there in your Bibles, I find it interesting that God wants me to share with you this morning complements the devotion that Joel gave last Sunday at the congregational meeting. His devotion was about knowing God. Isn't it great how God moves in the minds and the hearts of His people? We ought to pay close attention to what God is revealing to us. All right. So have you seen the license plate holder that says, "No God, no way"? Some say, "No God." Some of them say, "No God, no peace." But then it says, "No God, K-N-O-W, and know your way." So K-N-O-W again. Or, "No God and no peace." It makes you think, do you know God? Are you sure you know God? I'm not saying no God as if there was no God, or responding with no God as if being defiant. So what does it mean to know something or someone? To know, looking up in the dictionary, is to perceive or understand as fact or truth, to apprehend clearly or with certainty. So do you know God? Do you understand the facts about God or the truth about God? And then, are you certain of your salvation? Also, to know is to be cognizant or aware of. Are you fully aware of God? Are you cognizant, aware of your salvation? To know is also to understand from experience or attainment. Do you understand God and His salvation for you? And then why should we wish to know God? I mean, we live in a culture that is rejecting God and His existence more and more each day. Well, Jesus said it in Matthew 7:13. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many." Have there been times in your Christian walk that you doubted that you were in Christ? Maybe you're doubting now. Or was there sin that you carried in the flesh that made you doubt your closeness with Christ? Again, maybe that is now for you. I remember as a new Christian, I had doubts about whether or not I really knew God, especially when you find yourself in the same sin again and again. Can you identify with that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, dear God, for meeting in your sanctuary once again, dear God. What a privilege that is. Dear God, as we continue to open up your word, Lord, we pray that you penetrate our hearts and our minds. Dear God, may we understand what you have to speak, say to us this morning, dear God. Lord, may we have changed lives, changed hearts. Lord, may we walk as Jesus walked. Help us to do that, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, so hold on to your seats this morning. So we're going to start with 1 John and jump around a bit through Scripture. 1 John, we're in the ESV version that we'll be reading from. So, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, "I know Him," but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, "But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment, that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John wrote the letter of 1 John for twofold purpose. The first purpose was to expose false teachers. Those who are trying to deceive you, he says, which is evident in 1 John 2:26, if we were to continue further. The other purpose is to assure believers of salvation, found in 1 John 5:13, where he says, you may know that you have eternal life. So this morning, let's focus our attention on the latter reason, the assurance of salvation. With that, the question arises, do you know God? So, knowing God, of course, the list that I'm going to share with you shortly is inclusive, besides the obvious of reading your Bible and praying to God, okay? So those two are important always. But it's a list of ways to become closer to God and know him more. First is to obey his commands. Second, love him and your neighbor. Number three, walk as Jesus walked. Four, be fruitful for God. And number five, crucify the sinful nature. In other words, stop sinning. Most of these are found in today's passage. Others we will address perusing other passages. So 1 John 2:3, as we go there, tells us that we know him if we keep his commandments, his commands, or obey his commands. Does this mean that I must obey all commands? Can I obey all God's commands? Of course, out of obedience to God, we do attempt to obey his commands, but that could be difficult, if not impossible, for us in the flesh. No, it refers to those who live their lives characterized by obedience to God. But again, let me be clear and say once more, out of obedience to God, Christians do attempt to be obedient to his commands. So what commands are we talking about? Let's talk about that. We might reflect upon the commands from the Old Testament. You might recall that God imposed 10 commandments upon his people to live by. In Exodus 20:1 through 17, that's where we find these. This should serve as a good refresher for most of us. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. There is no other God. Number two, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You see, he shows love to those who love him and keep his commandments. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord your God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, your livestock, your sojourner who is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Number five, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not bear false witness. against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. What about your neighbor's BMW or iPad or other things your neighbor may have that you don't? His private jet or yacht, right? What about other commands from the Lord? John 13:34 through 35 states, for us to know God is to love God and neighbor. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This was not a request, but a command. But was it really a new command? In Leviticus 19:18, it says, for the command from the Lord, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So it was there in the Old Testament. Jesus' command is a new command, though, in the sense that Christ's death on the cross proves to be a great example of divine love. Also, as we grow in Christ and express love for one another, it is this daily experience that reveals this newness of meaning. When asked, Jesus summed up the commands from the Lord in this. I'm sure you're all familiar with this one. For loving God and neighbor, Matthew 22:37-40, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor as yourself. To give an example of how this body is obedient to God's command, let me take you back 2 years ago. This is the testimony of what the Rodney family experienced here. This is a great church family. I can speak firsthand of the love God lived out in the people of this church. 2 years ago, my wife experienced difficult health issues. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer. Our response could have been utter depression. Could have been self-reliance. Could have been keep everything quiet. Or trust God and expose ourselves to be vulnerable to others. We exposed the news, which wasn't easy. What was our example? Jesus Christ, as he exposed himself to the world and to his disciples. What was Evangelical Free Church's response? Orville Christian School's response? My immediate family's response? My work family's response? Tremendous blessing. Expressions of godly love. So what love am I talking about? Tangible love. Visitation. We had families that came to visit us. They shared similar experiences and gave counsel regarding treatment. These are people who walked as Jesus walked. Offers of rides to appointments. Meals. Wonderful meals brought to our home. We had Orville Christian School that blessed us with breakfasts. EFC, dinners. We had cards, numerous cards, flowers, calls of encouragement, support with childcare, and prayer. Faced with adversity, the EFC family, OCS family, my immediate family, my work family, responded with great love for others and walked as Jesus walked, selfless and caring for others. He cared for us. He cared for us. So let me testify that this body of believers truly expressed the love of God by acting as God's hands and feet, blessing our family with God's love. We experienced God and saw the face of God. And witness firsthand God's love poured out through his people, you. We were very blessed and extremely thankful. Thank you so much. Of course, the list includes prayers from this body. Number 8 there. The Word of God says in James 1:22, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." When it comes to loving thy neighbor, this body of believers are doers and not hearers only, as I'm sure you all are aware of. But let's go back to our passage, 1 John 2:4. "Those who say they know God, but do not do what God commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. However, if a person obeys God's word, God's love is truly made complete in him." How would you like to have God's love made complete in you? This parallels with John 15:10 and 11, which says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So please do me a favor. Inhale for a moment and then exhale. You do know what you're doing, right? Breathing. That's right. And if you're in Christ and breathing, God has a job for you to do. What are you doing about it? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Have you encouraged anyone this week? Have you shown God's love to someone this week? Are you praying for anyone this week? Do people identify you with and in Christ? Or are you of this world? Time is short. Don't waste it. Let me share the marble story with you. I brought my marbles this morning. I recall an email that I received, and it was about, it was generated around the 90s. It was about a man who figured out that since most people live to be an average age of 75, that was his theory, he calculated that the amount of Saturdays that he had left was 3,900. That's from birth to 75. So now he was about 55 years old, and he figured out that, God willing, that he would have 1,000 Saturdays left. So he decided, you know, I'm going to go down to the toy store and I'm going to grab some marbles and put them in a jar and put 1,000 marbles in that jar and pull one out every Saturday. And as he did each Saturday, he threw it away. And it was a great way to keep a perspective of man's priorities. He found that by watching the marbles diminish, he focused more on really important things in life. There is nothing like watching your time here on earth run out to help get your priorities straight. What's the moral? You see, we all lose our marbles when we get older. So make the marbles that you have left count, okay? And if you're beyond 75, they're blessings and you put the marbles back in the jar. Amen. So let's go back to our passage. How do we know that we are in Christ? 1 John 1, verse 6. "Whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as Jesus walked," as he did. How did he walk? Was he proud? Was he spiteful? Was he arrogant? Judgmental? No, not at all. Jesus was humble, forgiving, loving, kind, peaceful, patient, good, faithful, and gentle. Do these attributes sound familiar? Yes, they do. I hope you recognize that most of these characteristics are from the fruit of the Spirit. Let's see if we can get Galatians 5:22 and 23. "So to know God is to be fruitful. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Do you display this fruit as well? To walk like Jesus is to produce the very fruit that Jesus did. Did you catch that? To walk like Jesus is to produce the very fruit that he did. To know God is to be fruitful. Matthew 7:15 through 20, beware of false prophets. It's a warning to us, though. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Pastor once told me that people can fake Christianity for a time, but you can tell true Christians from those who simply claim to be Christians. One way is to observe their fruit. Also, they may be able to fake obedience to God's commands for a short amount of time, but it won't last long term. From our list, lastly, we have crucify the sinful nature. To know God. From Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Did you catch that? Those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Have you put to death your sinful nature? Galatians 5:19 through 21 lists the acts of the sinful nature and state that they are obvious. You ready for them? Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealous fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucify your sinful nature. Crucify your sinful nature. Do you know what that is in your life? God knows too. Envision, if you can, yourself carrying your sins to the cross and crucifying them. Can you see that? Can you take it? See yourself taking your sins to the cross? Christ took upon the sins of man to the cross and became sin itself on the cross for you and for me. Therefore, I want to encourage you to read your Bibles, study God's Word, pray, and again, to know God is to obey God's commands. Love God and neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and definitely love your neighbor as yourself. Walk as Jesus walked. Be fruitful. And definitely crucify your sinful nature. This is all affirmed from John 14:21. Where it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So don't doubt that you're in Christ. Because with no God, there is no way. But if you know God, K-N-O-W, God, you will know your way. Let's visit the foot of the cross. The place that Jesus expressed divine love. Jesus came to teach us, leading by example what it means to be a Christian. We're to walk like him. Let's take a moment with God before we take communion. Remember that God loves you and he wants you to wholeheartedly love him. Wholeheartedly. For those of you who are in Christ, please reflect on the time that you first came to Christ. Do you remember that time? Spend the last few moments of this time with God thinking about the fresh fragrance of Christ, the Spirit of God that came upon you in those early hours or days. Reflect and be confident in your walk with Christ. Be sure of your salvation. For those of you who may have not accepted Christ as your Savior, please consider Him now. Opportunities in this life are few, and you're losing your marbles fast. Consider God's love for you. Think about His Son Jesus, how He came to earth to testify to the truth. Jesus came as a sacrifice for our sin. He came in love. He came for you. You may ask, how do I become a Christian? Do not believe that good works saves you. Do not believe that you can buy your way into heaven. It is faith alone. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. What is that belief that we're talking about? First, to know God, that you are a sinner. You need to understand that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Repent of your sin, turn away from your sin, rebuke it, and ask for forgiveness from God of that sin. Number two, recognize that you need a Savior and understand that Jesus Christ is that Savior. There is no other. There is no other way. And three, have faith and believe that Jesus died for you. Choose Christ and believe that He is the only answer to salvation from sin. The great news about Jesus is that our God is alive. So different from what other people believe. They believe their God is dead. But our God lives. Jesus is alive. He conquered death. He did not stay dead in the grave. Think about that for a moment. The same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead abides in you and in us. Praise God for that. Did you catch that? The same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now is the time. Maybe as you listen today, you've never felt close to God. Maybe you do not know Him. Pray now and ask God to speak to you, to teach you, to train you, to rebuke you in righteousness. Trust God and obey His commandments. Love one another as you've already showed, as you've loved our family, and encourage one another. In your love response to God and His gift, Jesus Christ, what are you doing to serve God? Lastly, that's what I want to talk about. In your love response to God and His gift, Jesus, what are you doing to serve Him? God has blessed each one of us with spiritual gifts. Are you using your gift to glorify God and His kingdom? Don't wait for God to join you. Join Him in the work He is doing. Whatever your gift is, plug yourself into God's work. Remember to walk as Jesus walked and be doers of the word, not hearers only. Pray. Talk to God about where He wants you to be. Maybe He wants you to be His prayer warrior. Remember, it's out of love that we serve God. Got that? It's out of love that we serve Him. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, dear God, which teaches us, rebukes us, and trains us in righteousness, dear God. Lord God, if there are any that do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray today is the day that they accept Him. Lord God, please work in the hearts and the minds of Your people here this morning. Lord God, be with them throughout the week as they experience their hardships in life like the Rodney family experienced. Dear God, may Your love pour out on them as we have experienced. Dear God, it's a wonderful thing experiencing You and the lives and the faces and the speaking of Your people. We praise You, dear God, for the encouragement that we have from one another. Thank You for the families You bless us with, dear God. Our EFC family, OCS family, work families that we have, and immediate family, of course, dear God. You have placed us purposely in our families for a reason. Heavenly Father, thank you for that. Dear God, I pray that you go with each one of us this morning, dear God. And may we just come to know you more. May we crucify our sinful nature. May we be obedient to your word. Dear God, may we trust you. Lord, help us to just to grow in Christ each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.